Today is the 28th day of January. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today, like every day. Grateful to be here, locked and loaded. Got some steamy wind farm coffee to my right. Got the rolling hills of Tennessee out in front of me. And got the next step forward in the scriptures right before my eyes. And got my place here around the circle, around the global campfire. Glad to be here together with you to take this next step forward. We're in the book of Exodus at this point. We've met Moses. Moses is going to be such an influential person for such a long time. We'll be traveling with Moses for quite a while, and we'll see why he becomes such an influential person as this particular story continues. Moses has been sent by God to demand the emancipation, to demand the freedom of the Hebrew people, the children of Israel, which does not come without conflict. Exodus chapter 5, verse 22 through 7, verse 25 today. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." And the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." But Moses said to the Lord, "If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips?" Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Pallu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zoar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These were the names of the sons of Levi, according to their records: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Levi lived 137 years. The sons of Gershon by clans were Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Kohath lived 133 years. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. These were the clans of Levi according to their records. Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri. The sons of Uzziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab and sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. The sons of Korah were Asir, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These were the Korahite clans. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite families, clan by clan. It was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, "Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions." They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, this same Moses and Aaron. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, "I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you." But Moses said to the Lord, "Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned the wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river. Confront him on the bank of the Nile and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says: by this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water." The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, 'Take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in vessels of wood and stone.'" Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish of the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things, by their secret arts. And Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. Matthew 18:21 through 19:12. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea, to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh?' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs. for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Proverbs 5, 22 and 23. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. Okay, so that proverb, the evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. The truth of that will unfold before us as we continue forward in the book of Exodus, as the Egyptian Pharaoh stands in the way of God's plan to free the children of Israel from slavery. We will see this in vivid, living color. And then as we flip over into the New Testament, into Matthew's Gospel, we read Jesus' words on a topic that he's pretty relentless about. Peter asks him, "Lord, how often should I forgive somebody that sins against me? 7 times? And Jesus is like, "No, not seven, 77 times. And then he tells this story, a parable, to illustrate the implications of withholding forgiveness. He tells his story of a man who was in debt to his king, more than he would ever be able to pay. And in order to satisfy the debt, the man was going to be sold. His wife was going to be sold. His children were going to be sold. And all his possessions, like everything about them, including their lives and their bodies, were going to be liquidated to pay the debts. I mean, the traumatic moment of that realization, the shock, the man falls before the king and begs, "Please just give me more time. Just give me some more time. I will pay you back." And then the unexpected happens. The king sees all of this, sees the pain and anguish of the man, and forgives the debt completely, and gives the man his life, his family, his possessions back. And he walks out of there free. And as he's walking home, he runs into somebody who owes him a little bit. And he demands payment. And he wouldn't relent. And he throws this person who owes him a little into prison until he could be repaid. When the king finds out about this, he immediately summons his man back into his presence. He had forgiven him a fortune. And he says, "You evil servant, I forgave you because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" And then the man was thrown into prison. The debt was restored, and he was thrown into prison until he could repay. And Jesus says, that's how it works. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So we see, whether we like it or not, forgiveness is like the blood, the currency of the kingdom of heaven. It's not an option. There isn't a way to stay in intimacy with God. Wow, unforgiveness is like a cancer among us. And we might be thinking, well, you have no idea. You have no idea what has happened that I have to then forgive just like that. And I would say probably no, that's not. I mean, forgiveness can be instantaneous, depending on the offense. But forgiveness is typically a process, depending on the damage that has been done. The point is that we work to move in that direction from our hearts, walking with God, walking in forgiveness, day by day, step by step, moment by moment, memory by memory, and continue to choose, even when it feels impossible, when the pain is beyond comprehension, we continue to choose to walk in the direction of forgiveness, yielding the pain to God, allowing God to walk through it with us, allowing restoration and healing to come moment by moment, day by day, memory by memory. Over time, it is a process. But it begins with the choice to even consider walking in that direction, and then beginning to walk in that direction. And eventually, if we don't stop, and we continue to walk with the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, receiving the comfort that we need for the damage that has been done, we will get there. Because like everything else, including sanctification, it is a process, day by day, step by step, moment by moment. And so, Father, we invite you into that. Some things, we're just holding a grudge, and there's no reason for it. And we can let go of it, and just turn away from it, and release it. It's not that big of a deal. In other ways, we have been damaged and shattered, and have been traumatized in ways that will never allow things to be as they once were ever again. Life has been changed, and we are holding on to you to be rebuilt entirely. And so forgiveness is a choice to move in that direction and a process of healing. We invite you, regardless of what is going on, because we all have big and small things, we invite you into the process of repair. Repair, repairing what is broken and leading us on the path of forgiveness. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. Where to be connected and stay connected to what's going on around here, man. We have had quite ourselves a winter blast in these rolling hills of Tennessee. It's a massive ice storm. I'm sure like thousands and thousands of you know what I'm talking about because you were in the path somewhere along the line. It hit us pretty hard. Actually, Jill and I, we had snuck away for a couple of days. And I mean, we work wherever we go, so We had snuck away for a couple of days in advance of going to Israel in just a couple of weeks. And we couldn't get back into the Rolling Hills. We were holed up in a hotel doing daily audio Bible. Because we've done it all over the world. Literally all over the world. In so many crazy circumstances. But then we ended up getting back, and it's been pretty crazy here. So the Rolling Hills are awash in white. It's very unusual. Happens maybe once a year, but in addition to being washed in white, all of the trees are like glistening diamonds. The ones that are still standing, like here out on the farm, we lost a bunch of branches and like some really big trees. So some cleanup is in our future, but hopefully all of you have weathered the storm. I know a lot of you weren't in the path or don't even know what I'm talking about, but just a little update here from the Rolling Hills of Tennessee that are glistening like diamonds and white like snow. That will all be gone, I'm sure, within a week. But thank you for your prayers that we kind of keep our power on and continue to move through every single day like we do. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly, profoundly, deeply. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, family. My name is Mark from Charlotte, North Carolina. First-time caller. 1.5-year listener. I'm soliciting your prayer this morning because of my sons, my stepson who's 17, who no longer lives with us, my 10-year-old and my 7-year-old, who are all on a path that is not Christ-like. Unfortunately, I had to put my 17-year-old stepson out because he wanted to do things his own way and couldn't abide by the rules of our home. And he is a very troubled kid, has intrusive thoughts, and he just wants to follow the ways of the world. And now that he's no longer in our home, he's at the liberty to do what he wants to do. And we're seeing the same trends happening in my 10 and 7-year-old respectively, where we are home. My wife and I, we've raised our kids to fear the Lord. We teach them about who God is and, you know, churchgoers and so forth. And we're just not seeing the fruit. We're not discouraged, but we trust God in his providence that he's able to do what he knows what's best for our kids. And as caregivers, it is very stressful to see my wife crying all the time and, you know, just me having to bottle all these things up. So I'm soliciting your prayers now to just pray for my family that God will touch these boys' heart and draw them back to him. Thank you and God bless.
Hey, this is Heather of Hex Peak, Bahia, Texas. And I just had my coworker ask me to send prayers for this military family here in Colorado that was T-boned, someone running a red light. And it's a mom and a dad and a little girl under the age of, I think she was about 6, and then a 3-year-old little boy. And they got banged up really bad, some broken bones, all of that stuff. So Heavenly Father, I just come before you to stand in the gap for this family. I pray for healing, Lord. Healing. Oh, not just over their bones, but over their spirits, Lord. Let them not be resentful towards the person that ran the red light. Let's forgive that person also, because I'm sure that person sustained injury as well. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you're with this family and that you're with all their friends and that they get comforted and the doctors do the best that they can and that they glorify you, that they are still all alive, Lord, that no one passed away. Father God, I just pray for that, these people and their community. And I just lift them up to you right now, Lord. You take care of them. You mend their bones. You mend their spirits. Give them a peace that surpasses all human peace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And I thank you in advance, all of my knee benders and prayer warriors praying over this little family of four. Thank you.
Hello, divers. Just wanted to put a quick prayer request out there. This is following promptings from Shepherdsville, Kentucky. I have a student of mine named Allison who is pregnant with her first child. During an ultrasound, they found out that the little baby boy has just one kidney, and there may be other problems once it's born, but they're not 100% sure. They're hoping it's just that he has one kidney and he can live a normal life with just one kidney. However, they found out with ultrasound, I think it was a week or so ago, that kidney is in distress. So she's going in for another ultrasound tomorrow. I know you guys won't hear this in time, but I know God will hear the prayers anyway, because he works outside. And they're going to find out how his kidney's doing tomorrow, and they may induce her. She's due mid-February, I think, early February to mid-February. So if you guys will lift prayers that can stay in her belly for as long as possible without the kidney being affected, I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Blessings.
Hello, everybody. It's Susan from Canada, Jail of Power. And I want to pray for Rick today. Lord God, you see Rick. You know Rick. He's your child. He loves you, Lord. But he is racked with concern and worry and attacks from the enemy. And I lift him up to you and ask that your peace that surpasses all understanding would be his, that he would rest in your arms and find the comfort he needs, the security he needs for the future, the hope that he needs in his life, and the strength that he needs. Arm him up, Lord God, as to fight the good fight of faith, and keep him on his feet, ready to battle against anything Satan should throw at him. Arm it up with your armor, not his own. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello, DAB family. This is Tracy from Columbus, Ohio, calling in on January 20th. I'm calling in today because it is the anniversary of my sister's death, who died 1 year ago. This is my third year with DAB, and I just wanted to say thank you for this community for being there for me, even if you don't know me or didn't know what to pray for. Knowing I could turn to God's word every day and hear it spoke, and hearing all of everybody else's prayers was so powerful. Thank you. 2025 was a hard year for my family, but I'm calling in to say that God is good and we have seen such miracles. And if anybody is out there struggling, I just wanted to say this is for you. In 2025, we lost my dear sister to cancer, then my mother-in-law, and then my 27-year-old daughter, who is a recovering drug addict, relapsed, resulting in a 6-week hospital stay. But God is so good. Today we are celebrating my sister's life, and my daughter is sober for 6 months and doing great and finally free from bondage. God is so good, and if you're out there struggling, we hear you and we are praying for you. Thank you, Brian. Last year's listening to the reading of the book of Job was so helpful. I had read it before, but it touched me in a way that was different. I wanted so many answers to questions, and I just kept hearing you say through God's word, do you want answers or do you want God's presence? And it was God's presence I wanted and needed and received. And that is what we all need today. So I'm praying for all of you each day, and I thank you again for this wonderful community. God bless.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I just heard a prayer from a lady. I need to catch people's names at the beginning. So I'm sorry that I missed your name, but you called and you were about to have a G-tube placed, a surgery placed. And this is probably already happened, obviously, by the time you hear this prayer. But God does not know limitations of time. So, Heavenly Father, I just lift her to your throne of grace and mercy. I pray your peace over this situation. Heavenly Father, I pray your healing over this situation. I thank you so much that you are giving means of nutrients to sustain her, to provide for her, to give her strength so that not only she can get the nutrients she needs and hopefully gain some of the weight back that she lost, but also that her body can have the fuel that it needs as it's going through this treatment that you're providing her to beat, and so she can become in remission of this lymphoma. Heavenly Father, I also pray just your peace over her, your calm over her, that she feels your presence, that you are walking with her, Holy Spirit, and just feels you the entire time, every step of the way. I pray for ultimate healing over her in the mighty name of Jesus. I plead the healing blood over her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet in the name of Jesus. I also pray for provision, Heavenly Father, in every aspect, that you restore her and renew her and provide for her just financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And I pray peace and comfort over her 2 8-year-old twin boys, Heavenly Father, that they have just this assurance and this peace that their mom is going to be okay. They've already had to walk through the tragedy of losing their father. So Heavenly Father, I just pray that your peace and your presence is with those boys as well. And they know that their mom is, she's good to go. It is in your mighty name, Jesus, that I pray and I ask all these things. Amen.